They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday as we get closer and closer and closer to the start of football season. Games begin, Daddy, 1 week from today. Important games begin 1 week from today at the Division I level. Yeah, the Division I level and all the way down to NAIA. Hastings College opens 1 week from today.
I think the excitement obviously continues to build. Huskers, 16 days until the Huskers open up the season with Florida Atlantic. By the way, do have confirmation. One, Howard Schnellenberger should be joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Week of that game, we'll talk to Howard Schnellenberger. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday as we were setting that up. Who would you say would be the most hated Husker
opposing?
I mean, when it comes to the program, when it comes to the entire program, who would be the most hated person? Okay, Steve Peterson won. I don't even think you put Bill Callahan too, because I think that I don't think you do. I just think that's the way things happen. But is Schnellenberger viewed in that department? I mean, he never was really smug towards Nebraska, really. They never really did a whole lot of talking to him about Nebraska's team, kind of like they've done with Spurrier about the beatdown that they suffered. Where would you place Howard Schnellenberger when it comes to Nebraska football lore? And I ask not only you, but the fans out there, the listeners out there, 888-455-ESPN or the Dent Popper inbox wide open, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Where would you put him? Being younger than me, not significantly, but enough. I mean, how old were you?
I was nine.
Nine?
And I can remember how hard I cried. I can remember not thinking the world, the sun would not come up, the world was over. I remember that at age nine. Somehow, miraculously enough, it did. That pass getting tipped away is still one of the sickest feelings. And you never thought. But did Nebraska and the way they beat Miami somehow take vindication and make everything all right for going to Miami and losing those other games?
No.
No.
No, that was only once. That was one national championship by beating Miami. Miami beat us down, and Florida State beat us down more than we ever beat them down. Even as competitive as we were sometimes, we never did win.
But the majority of those times, okay, there was the Orange Bowl, which Howard Schnellenberger won, the pass getting deflected for the 2-point conversion, and then there was the Trev Alberts that year with Florida State. Those 2 years where we were competitive. The other years, we were overmatched athletically and talent-wise. We would have had to take some turnovers and just play out of our minds to have opportunity to win those games. Do you agree? I mean, I think the talent-wise, I think that's why you look back and go, okay, we can concede those games. They were better than us.
Well, depends which games you're talking about. Yeah, that's why Coach Osborne changed his philosophy on who they were going to recruit and recruiting speed and able to get back to where they were. But our teams of the 80s, I thought, were as good as the teams of Miami's 80s until about 87.
Who else, along with Howard Schnellenberger and the Miami Hurricanes, you can lump them together if you want.
Well, Barry Switzer's in that love-hate relationship. I think everybody is okay with Coach Switzer now, but I don't think anybody liked Barry Switzer in Oklahoma when he was coaching him, and they kept winning, and they were very arrogant, and the way that they did things was not, quote, the Nebraska way. So I would say Barry Switzer is up there. Not Penn State, the assholes that were officiating the games. I would say the official that officiated the 83/84 Orange Bowl and the officials that officiated the Penn State game. those are up there on the top five, aren't they? It's not Penn State coaches, players in that particular game.
Yeah, where the irregularly shaped field.
The,
yeah,
the official that whose face you kept seeing time after time after time when Nebraska wide left Byron Bennett, the fake. Where there was no clip.
Floyd Turner, was it the ball out?
Yeah,
the goal
line.
Yeah,
the fumbles before he scores, and was it Dixon? Or who? Not Dixon.
Corey Dixon.
Yeah, okay.
Corey Dixon on the punt return.
Had the punt return that should have made put Nebraska up 7-0, and even the announcers, who were viewed as anti-Nebraska sometimes on the Orange Bowl broadcast, even they said there was no penalty on the play. So there you go. There's a couple.
I'm just wondering who else is up at the top of that list. Do we... We have Husker fans out there, 1-888-455-3776. The other people that come to mind immediately, I think you're exactly right on the irregularly shaped field that was Penn State. Unbelievable. That makes you sick. The pass in the end zone that was...
What makes you sick? Seeing it again after all these years? Because I saw it Sunday morning when we... It was on Sunday morning on educational television, that 3 hour, however long it is. A documentary on Husker football is made in 2002. Trev Albers narrates it. Wow. Anyway, coming up on the show today, we're going to talk, and you can feel free to fire off your emails. Who would be anti-Nebraska, hated Husker? Not Mark May, not Kirk Herbstreit. Don't shoot me that. That's that. No. But give me something. Doug
Bill McCartney.
Yeah, he was a tool towards Nebraska. But again, once they left, there was a lot more respect all the way around. Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald is going to join us on the show today, not only to talk Husker football, but Husker baseball. Who's coming back now that the signing period is over for the pro baseball and all those that were drafted and thought about going to the pro level? Also, today on the show, we're going to catch up with Brian Cabral. He's the associate head coach at Colorado, played on the 1985 Chicago Bears Super Bowl champion team, and it's Thursday, so Joe DiMaio joins us. Even more fantasy football coming up this weekend, fantasyplayersedge.com. Let's go to the phone lines, 888-455-3776.
Here's Bill from Kearney, guys.
Bill, good morning. What's up?
Good morning.
What's on your mind today, Bill?
Well, I was throwing a name out for you. I think, wouldn't you guys agree, in the late 80s, early 90s, that Colorado coach, was it McCartney?
Yeah.
He was pretty high on everybody's list. He was pretty sanctimonious. And
he was one of the first guys that actually came out and said, this is the game we need to win. We are putting, the Nebraska game was put in
different
red.
Different color, yeah.
Was put in red on their black and gold schedules. Bill came out and said that. And then he went and did some things that, made him a great person, too. But, yeah, Bill, I think you're right. Thanks for the call. 888-455-ESPN. Maybe of who you would consider a villain to Husker football.
There you go.
A Husker football villain. In the Snidely Whiplash era.
And then I think Neuheisel will kind of continue that mantra with the Colorado Buffaloes. And then say what you want about Gary Barnett. I think over time, the big rivalry deal that Colorado tried to create, you've still got to beat Nebraska more than once every 10 years. It's got to be a...
Yeah, they did okay for a while.
Well, but when they started that deal... I haven't beat Nebraska in 28 years, and all of a sudden, yeah, this is a game. Well, start winning a few, and then it turns into a game.
Jack and Franklin via the Dent Popper inbox says, I'm okay with Switzer as long as you're not airport security.
Of course, Barry Switzer having some troubles taking guns on planes.
Mark in Minden says, how about the Colorado student section? Who had the only time I've ever seen an entire section ejected
removed
from a game. Yeah, removed from a game. Disciplined from a game. Of course, they threw, what would you call them? I don't know the delicate way to say this, but frozen chunks of ice or they'd make snowballs and maybe they'd have body fluid on it. It was not a good thing. It was not a good thing. Yeah, Colorado. And, I'm not in the same vein, but boy, who's worse, Missouri or Colorado fan? Because I haven't heard of one good thing about Missouri fan at Missouri games, Nebraska at Missouri games.
Yeah, we have. Gabe Yarman told us. Ask Gabe how good they are.
Wow. Really? We're going to ask Mitch Sherman when he joins us here in a couple of minutes. Brian Cabral from Colorado, associate head coach, and played for the 85 Bears. That's our Big 12 feature today. And Joe DeMeo is going to join us from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Also, a couple of other just national notes before we move on today. Tony, they're saying that the University of Memphis is going to have to forfeit all their games, all their victories from last year. They made it to the national championship, won 38 games. What does that do? What does that prove? Who does that help? So somebody came in and took an SAT test for Rose. Okay, wrong. That is wrong. Okay, I got that. I got that. Did that make him any less of a basketball player on the court? Just kind of throwing this a different direction. I mean, he would have been ineligible. Okay, maybe he wouldn't have been ineligible. We don't know that. What is it?
Why does everybody else get punished for
the whole
one
thing
person?
Is just not being handled right anymore. And that's the way I feel about Plaxico Burress. 2 years in prison, and that's your plea deal? You made a deal, and you're getting 2 years for shooting yourself? Wow, I want to get that attorney. Woo! Hey, Plax, I think maybe you ought to plead guilty. Maybe you can get out in 18 months. Yeah, okay.
But, Douglas, I think that a lot of other people would have probably gotten 3 years for doing the same exact thing.
I think a lot of other people would have had it thrown out of court, Tony.
No.
Yes.
Not in New York.
Yes.
Not with the laws.
A non-athlete, yes.
No.
Somebody go find me a drug dealer in New York that's walking the streets today who didn't serve a day in prison. All right? There are worse people out there than Plaxico Burress.
Oh, I'm not saying that.
The whole thing stinks to high heaven. And maybe that's because of the way we look at it in Nebraska, which is weird with our conservative roots that we would think that. But we're gun-toting, hunting people out here. And even though he wasn't hunting anybody, I don't think. Weird. I just don't get it. I don't get it. What would we be strung up for in Nebraska that would be okay in New York? Can you come up with something that would be illegal? Okay, you go 90 in Nebraska, it's probably illegal in New York. But give me something. What would you go to jail for in Nebraska that you would not go to jail for in New York?
It had to be something of drug nature. I mean, if you're saying in Nebraska you would go to jail for 3 years, where in New York you'd go to jail for 3 months. I mean, I would have to be something of that nature, I got to believe.
And Andy Christensen is back at Husker practice.
Well, he's not guilty.
Well, of course not. He said he always felt that he would be back. He also says he has stopped drinking and stopped going to bars.
Probably a good idea, Andy.
Yeah, until you get far away from Lincoln. So Sean Watson says that he's in the best shape of his life and will be a significant contributor to the Nebraska football team this fall. We're going to talk Nebraska football with Mitch Sherman. Keep firing your emails off to the Dent Popper inbox. Dent Popper, home of the Armor Linings, and they've specialized in paintless dent repair for years. Stop by and see the boys for a free estimate today. The Dent Popper on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. The email address, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Mitch Sherman of the Omaha World Herald, when we return.
Something wrong, sir? I will not tolerate this flagrant mockery of my intelligence.
Neener, neener, neener. Doug and Daddy will be right back to further insult your intelligence.
Holy cow, here come the new 2010 campers at Eagle Crest in Grand Island. But wait a minute, we still have a few 2009 models we need to move. So Jim says, would you like to save $10,000? Would you like to save more than $10,000? Then talk to Jim or Brad at Eagle Crest. And while you're there, take a gander at the new 2010 Aristocrat, a 26-foot big slide travel trailer that's supposed to be priced at $23,500, but introductory special, let's make it $19,950. At Eagle Crest, West Highway 30 in Grand Island, a subsidiary of Chief Industries.
Nearly 60 years ago, my grandfather co-founded Custom Pack in Hastings. That was 1947. Today, we are the area's leader for quality fresh meats. Lots of changes have taken place in the business since then, but certain things will remain the same. You know of our unsurpassed quality at Custom Pack. You know we can save you money. And you know that as a small family business, we are measured by our integrity, quality, savings, and people you can trust. Custom Pack, you'll taste the difference.
Before podcasts, if you missed the Doug and Daddy Show, they used to have to come to your house.
Were you expecting a visit from the Tooth Fairy?
And try to repeat everything.
I don't have time today to play What's My Line.
Now when you log on to ESPNSuperstation.com.
Don't touch your computer. Don't ever touch your computer.
You can listen to or download the latest Doug and Daddy Show.
Yes, I pressed that button like 100 times.
Doug and Daddy.
I'm telling you, this thing won't print.
Online. Podcasts. Brought to you by Cunningham's Journal in Kearney.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops across the area today with a chance of an isolated shower or storm developing with highs of 76. Northwest winds stay gusty at 15 to 25. We'll then drop back to 51 for a low tonight. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 70.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Another beautiful, cool day. A little wind whipping across the plains, and a nice day to maybe enjoy some golf or maybe this weekend. It's never too early to book your tee time at Prairie Hills Golf Course between Kearney and Pleasanton, about 12 miles north of Kearney. Get you out of town, get you out there on their beautiful layout, and maybe you just need a little practice. Driving range open, putting green is there. And, of course, a beautiful clubhouse to take care of you before, during, and after your round. Go see all the friendly folks out at Prairie Hills. It just continues to grow out there. The course gets better and better every day. The gang out there is doing a great job developing Prairie Hills. And don't forget their early week specials where you can play all day, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, for a special fee with cart. And check out all the details at Prairie Hills. $20 on Monday, $25 Tuesday or Wednesday. You play all day with cart. So if you want to play more than 18, you can. It's one low price at Prairie Hills Golf Course, just north of Kearney.
Doug, a couple preseason games tonight. New England plays Cincinnati and Philadelphia and Indianapolis. Have noticed Maurice Purifoy, 2 catches, 17 yards in the one preseason game. So he is getting on the field, getting to see some action. Hopefully that'll continue and to get him on that 53-man roster.
We started the show off today on a variety of topics, but Tony brought up that Howard Schnellenberger will be joining us here before the opening game of the season for the Huskers, and we started talking about villains to the Husker program, and the emails have been rolling in. We've got Barry Switzer, we've got Coach McCartney, we've got, what's the latest you got?
Lumpy's chimed in and said Cosgrove, all by himself, a villain to Nebraska football. Our friend Dave O says Bud Wilkinson. Now, that was kind of certainly before me, and probably before you as well.
Yeah, my recollection of Bud Wilkinson was when he was doing color on ABC, and that was still early. Bud Wilkinson actually did color on the Game of the Century. Between Nebraska and Oklahoma. So maybe Husker fan thinking he is obviously rooting for Oklahoma more than the Huskers. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. Lisa in Hastings says, "Hi, guys. Love your show and listen to it every day. I usually don't feel the need to respond, but today was the exception. I still hate, capitalize hate, Todd Blackledge of Penn State for that touchdown pass. I see him as doing color commentary on CBS, and I want to kick the TV screen. I was just 11 when that game was played, but I still remember the disappointment." Lisa in Hastings. Lisa, thanks for firing off to the Dent Popper inbox. Mitch Sherman joins us from the Omaha World Herald. Mitch, who would you put in the Husker villain category?
Well, how about some legendary names like Bobby Bowden and Bear Bryant? Those guys got over on Nebraska a couple of times, although I think the Huskers turned the table on Bear Bryant there before the end of his career. And I put Keith Jackson from Oklahoma.
Yes.
And maybe even like Billy Sims on that list too.
Keith Jackson, that is excellent, because I still can't forgive him for the offensive pass interference that wasn't called on that great one-hand catch he made. In what was it, 85, Tony? 85, I think. 85 game. Well, Mitch, we want to talk a little football. We want to talk a little baseball with you as well. So since we're talking football, let's start there. Coach Pelini didn't seem all jacked up after the first of two practices yesterday. Didn't have much to say after practice. Is there much to say about this football team right now?
Well, not if you're Nebraska. They're kind of playing by the keep things close to the vest rule. You know, different schools do it differently, and I was just noticing yesterday all the mass amounts of reports that are coming out of Missouri's practices. I mean, those things are open from the first minute to the last minute to the media, and everything from word for word conversations between coaches and players to exact plays, good and bad, are reported online and in the newspapers and on TV. And then Nebraska does it totally different. You know, they keep things quiet. Bo Pelini doesn't like to heap praise on individual players at all, even if they're doing good things in practice. I don't think one way is necessarily better than the other. I certainly don't think Missouri's given away their secrets to the season by having their practices open during August. But if you're Nebraska, I definitely see their reasons for their methods too. I guess it just suits whatever suits the head coach. And with Bo, like you said, there's not going to be a lot of information that leaks out. That's just his personality. He likes things to stay in the office and stay on the field and stay within the team. And we'll have to find out a lot about this team those first 2 weeks of September, I guess.
Mitch, do you think before those first 2 weeks in September, Bo Pelini is going to loosen up a little bit, though? Hey, it just seems so stiff and everything's so by the book.
No.
That's just what he's going to be.
I really don't. I think this is Bo Pelini. I think we saw it last year. You know, Bo will joke around with you on occasion, and he can be loosed in the off season, but August through December, you know, he's all business. And it doesn't make it all that much fun covering him, you know, but I think it's fun for the fans and it's fun for everybody to be around that program when they're winning. And this is how he feels comfortable going about trying to win. So whatever he wants to do, I suppose he's, you know, the buck stops with him. He makes the decision on kind of the demeanor of this program. And he's just going to be a guy that doesn't have a whole lot of interesting stuff to say during the season. You're not going to find out a ton about what's going on inside those practices from Bo Pelini. Now, the players and the assistant coaches, that's a different story. But the head man himself, he plays it close to the vest. He always has, and I think he always will as a coach.
And I think that's okay, too. Mitch Sherman joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Omaha World Herald. Mitch, Barney Cotton spoke after practice a couple of days ago. One of the things we're seeing is that there seems to be enough guys like an Andy Christensen or a Derek Meyer that there's going to be some depth on the line. Is there depth on the line because all the guys are that good, or nobody is standing out right now?
Well, that's a big question. And, you know, I've wondered the same thing and wrote an article that's in today's paper about whether the offensive line should be a concern for Nebraska. They definitely have some spots that are solid. I think Keith Williams at left guard is solid. I think Mike Smith, if he's healthy, at left tackle is solid. I think they actually have a pretty good situation at right tackle with Marcell Jones and DJ Jones. Now, some of these guys are not really battle-tested, but they look the part, and I think that they're doing good things in practice based on what's coming out from the assistant coaches and the players themselves. We know Jacob Hickman's a good center. I don't really know what's going on at right guard because Ricky Henry's in there, but he has not been healthy for most of fall camp. They took Derek Meyer and moved him over to the left side after he'd been working some at the right guard position early in camp. And then Brent Qualley, the true freshman from North Dakota, he went down with an injury and isn't going to practice for the rest of camp. So I don't think that you know, if his injury isn't more severe than they're letting on, I don't think that he's a guy that can count on to be ready to go against Florida Atlantic, since he's a true freshman and that he's been hurt. So at right guard, I guess it's up to Ricky Henry and then Andy Christensen, who you know, had a long, long road back after the layoff that he had. You know, the time away when he was suspended from the team. So maybe Christensen will be that guy. Maybe it'll be Henry. But I see depth, but it's not proven depth. And I wonder, we're not going to have this question answered for a few weeks, whether this line is you know, going to be a problem area for Nebraska.
Okay, Mitch, another perceived advantage the Huskers have maybe this year for the first time in a long time is the defensive backfield and how solid it is. Any idea on the starters in that defensive backfield?
Yeah, first of all, I think that defensive backfield is legit. I see more athletes and more guys running around at those positions who can, you know, who can hit, who can run, who can do athletic things and hold up against the offenses that you're going to see in the Big 12. And I've seen it in Nebraska in a long time. And this is by design. You know, this is a direct result of the way that offensive football has gone in the Big 12 with the passing games, the spread, and things like that. The teams that throw for 400 yards every week. I mean, Nebraska has gone out and said, we need to recruit good defensive backs and a lot of them. And you're seeing that for the first time this year on the roster. I think the starters at corner are going to be Prince Amukamara and Anthony West. And I think Larry Assani and Matt O'Hanlon are going to start at safety. And Eric Haig is going to be the nickel. And Lance Thorell is going to be the dime. And they'll be playing some dime. They'll be playing a lot of nickel, and they'll be playing some dime with only one linebacker on the field. Now, that gives you second-team guys like Anthony Blue, who's been a starter before, like Alfonso Denard, who, you know, grew in the system last year and was good enough to play as a true freshman. Second-team guys like Ricky Thanars, who is a senior and an experienced guy, but somebody who's never really starred on defense. He's been a special team star. And P.J. Smith, the redshirt freshman, has emerged as the second-team guy at safety also. So that's eight deep, where I think you've got eight really good players, nine and ten if you include Haig and Thorell. And there's more guys beyond those players, like Courtney Osborne, who's another redshirt freshman who's very athletic. They can probably go 15 deep with good athletes.
Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. One more football question before we turn to the Husker baseball program. Just real quick, everybody is chalking up the three non-conference home games as wins, and fans are hoping that they can beat Virginia Tech. Mitch, your thoughts with Virginia Tech losing their star running back and then the only kid that had any experience getting hurt in practice this week. How much does that even the playing field for Nebraska going out to Blacksburg?
I don't think Nebraska's too upset about Darren Evans going down. I mean, Virginia Tech, when they have those vintage Virginia Tech teams, and I think a lot of people believe that this might be one of those teams, they pound that ball. And they play ball control. They're going to score touchdowns on the ground and move the ball up and down the field with their running back. They're going to play great defense, and their special teams are better than anybody else's in the country. That's the great Virginia Tech team for you. So to take Evans out of that mix, you know, that's a major element to what they want to do in building a good team. So I don't think that should be downplayed. And I don't really know what they have behind him. You know, they may have some freshman who showed up on campus 3 weeks ago and comes out and runs for 1,500 yards. I don't know. That's the big question. But Evans was definitely the most experienced guy coming back, and he was going to be the workhorse if he had been healthy this year. So you know. There's a lot more to contend with in Virginia Tech, the special teams, the defense. You know, Tyrod Taylor, a quarterback, is going to be a huge challenge for Nebraska to contain. But and then the fact that game is on the road in an extremely hostile environment, and Zach Lee's first game on the road as a starting quarterback in Nebraska, there are all kinds of problems with that game. And I don't look at it and say, okay, Darren Evans is out. Nebraska's got a real good chance to win that game. Now, I think it's still going to be an uphill battle, and it's going to be a big upset in my mind if Nebraska comes out of Blacksburg with a victory. But you know, no Darren Evans is one thing that you can say Nebraska has gained an edge over Virginia Tech on in these weeks of camp.
Omaha World Herald's Mitch Sherman joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mitch, we're going to turn our focus a little bit to baseball, and I guess maybe the first good news the Husker baseball team has had in about a year with the return of Nisseth and Bailey, maybe.
Yeah, I think there was one victory last year over over somebody that might have been a good win for Nebraska. They beat Arkansas. Down
there you
in
go.
March.
Okay.
That was good news, but other than that, you know, it was few and far between last season. You know, if this turns out to just be a blip on the radar and Nebraska has a down season in 2009 and they come back and they're the program that we've seen, you know, over the last decade in 2010, then that's going to be a crazy few months that we just witnessed in Nebraska baseball history. I don't know. I kind of was of the belief that, you know, this was something that was, was a problem that was had the potential to be a direction that Nebraska was headed in. But this month, with this week, with the draft deadline passing, Nebraska had some real good news, and five of the six guys who were signed and had remaining eligibility are coming to Nebraska, coming back. In the case of Mike Nesith and Adam Bailey, their best hitter and best pitcher from last season. And then there's three recruits, including a 10th round pick of the Texas Rangers. And Nebraska has not done well at all in recent years in keeping those guys in the fold. I mean, really, it's an unfair match to say you pick between the University of Nebraska or the University of Texas, whatever it is, and the Texas Rangers. And the Texas Rangers can give you hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they offered that to Tom Lemke, but he's coming to school. He wants to be in college. He's a 6'8" right-hander who throws hard and, can be a Friday night guy pretty early in his career. You know, we'll see if it happens in 2010. I don't know. They may be better served to have him in some kind of a different role, but he's going to help Nebraska right away. And so are the other drafted recruits. So they're going to go from having nobody on their pitching staff last year who had ever been drafted. Well, Cash Kalkowski, I don't want to forget him. He was drafted in the 49th round a year ago. But one guy who'd been drafted in 49th round at that, to having a 10th round pick, a 15th round pick, a 21st round pick, and somewhere in the 30s with the other recruit, Ryan Hander,
yeah,
out of
38th,
South Dakota. Yeah, 38th round. So that's a pretty significant change and a pretty big overhaul for this Nebraska pitching staff. And, you know, it could translate to a big change in their record on the field.
Well, hopefully things will be a little more of a comfort level for the Big Red baseball team here in the offseason. Coach Anderson has to be breathing a little bit better. And, Mitch, we'll let you get back to your day job. We always appreciate you joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll see you in Lincoln at the press conference soon.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Mitch. Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald Husker beat writer. Talk a little Husker football and baseball. Yeah, don't let this be swept under the rug about what happened with the baseball team here in the last week. This is huge. I mean, you can't just pop up in March and go, what's the problem here? This is that recruiting and those things that need to fall in place. I mean, that's why and how they ran out of pitching is because guys kept leaving and they couldn't keep the depth of quality depth. And now these are going to be some kids that come in. And remember, now they'll be here 3 years because once you turn it down out of high school, it's 3 years before you can be eligible to get back into the draft. So that's big. 6'8", flamethrower out of Texas.
Sounds good.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Our Big 12 preview continues with Colorado Associate Head Coach Brian Cabral, a member of the 1985 Chicago Air Super Bowl champions, going to join us next.
Put your arms up on the table, bend over, and spread your legs.
Quite a sight, wasn't it, sir?
A sight I'd rather not be seeing.
Blindfolds will be available at the front desk, and Doug and Daddy will be right back.
Oh, my goodness.
StubHub! Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. Listen up, sports fans and concert fans. When it comes to tickets, StubHub is the place to go. The world's largest ticket marketplace with a great selection of tickets to every game or show. Selling tickets? You can list them on StubHub. Reach millions of other fans looking. It's that easy. NFL and college football, folks, they're almost here. Buying or selling, StubHub backs everything with their Fan Protect Guarantee. Go to StubHub.com or call 1-866-STUBHUB. That's 1-866-STUBHUB.
Rain. What harm could a little water do to your deck? An inch of rainfall over 1 acre equals 27,000 gallons. That's roughly 1.5 gallons per square foot. Count the square feet of your deck. Now multiply by the inches of rain that fall on that wood annually. You don't need to do the math to know all that water adds up. Made with the finest oils and pigments, Cabot stains have been protecting wood against rain for over 130 years. Cabot. Our performance is legendary. Visit CabotStain.com for the retailer nearest you.
Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam.
Sam!
Because upgrading your central air system to a high-efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Dad. Sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high-efficiency Trane model at Fidelki Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a train.
Need tickets? Need to sell tickets? Or cars? Or stuff out of the basement or garage? Become a super fan and you can post them on free classifieds. Click on to find the deals too. ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Become a super fan today.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops across the area today with a chance of an isolated shower or storm developing with highs of 76, northwest winds stay gusty at 15 to 25. We'll then drop back to 51 for a low tonight. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 70.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. And don't forget to get on our webpage at ESPNSuperstation.com. Vote on the Sun Heat Hot Topic poll question, which is, how do you think the Vikings will do now that they've signed Brett Favre, miss the playoffs, make the playoffs, maybe even win the Super Bowl? Go to ESPNSuperstation.com. We go back to the Dent Popper inbox. Two of our favorite emailers here, Ken, dissing on another emailer, H-Man, who unretired yesterday, just like Brett Favre. And Ken says, well, tickle me, Elmo, the H-Man returns. I was hoping he would announce that he had successful brain surgery in his absence, but alas, it appears that portion of his anatomy continues to deteriorate. Ken.
Pug has chimed in with two villains of the Husker program, Jamal Daly and Joe Lord.
Quit it. Just quit it.
That's Joe Daly and Jamal Lord.
That's not fair. Not fair to either one of those kids. Mickey Joseph. Let's go to the let's go to our Big 12 preview with Brian Cabral, associate head coach at the University of Colorado, brought to you by New Tech Seed. See Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed, your yield leaders. New Tech Seed for all your seed needs. Oh, yeah. With New Tech, you know you're planting quality. Contact Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest dealer.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Big 12 Media Days. We are talking Colorado Buffalo football this time around. And, Daddy, a lot of people are looking for Colorado to make that emergence here in the fourth year under Coach Dan Hawkins. We've had a chance to talk to some of the players. I like the makeup before I even came down. But the problem is a lot of people aren't giving Colorado love because of injuries last year, indecision of what's going to happen at quarterback, and what the new kids are going to do. But you're here to straighten all that out.
Well, I'm here with associate head coach and the linebackers coach, Brian Cabral. Brian, thanks so much for stopping by and giving us a minute on the Doug and Daddy Show, and welcome.
Thank you. Is it Mr. Big Daddy?
No, there's a lot of things you can call me. Mr. doesn't have to be one of them.
Brian, you got to be eager to get this group of kids going, especially after the way things bounced around last year. There's got to be a lot of kids that are ready to be healthy and ready to play some football. There's probably so many kids on this team that seem like they haven't played in 2 years.
Yeah, you know, I think that the term more is excited. We've got an excited football team coming back this year. And, you know, you talked about injuries. You talked about youth last year. You talked about a lot of things that, you know, you're one of the few people that understand that. But, we like this. We definitely like this team. We like more than anything the attitude of this team and the work ethic of this team. So we're going to be a year older. We do feel like, no question, we're going to turn the corner. We like everything. Even the situation at the quarterback. You know, what you have to understand is we did not have any competition at that position for 3 years, and now, you know, a very key position, we finally have some competition. So I don't think it matters who the quarterback's going to be. All I know is we're going to have the best quarterback on our team out there.
Brian, 21 years at Colorado, obviously been around the game of the 85 Bears. You played at Colorado. Had you ever seen anything like the injury deal you guys went through a year ago?
Well, especially at offensive line, I've never seen anything like that. And you know, and anybody knows if you don't have an offensive line, you can't protect your quarterback, and he's running for his life most of the game, and you can't run the ball, so you're not moving the ball, you're not throwing the ball. That was about as ugly as I've seen it. Now, the good news is, you know, we played guys that weren't ready. But they're a year more ready.
Well,
at this point,
that's got to be the silver lining. I mean, you've got to find a silver lining out of that whole deal, and I guess that's it. These kids were thrown into the fire. sometimes that hurts a kid, sometimes that helps a kid. Your thoughts on, is it going to help more of these kids than it actually hurt?
Well, no question it's going to help us, you know, just to have the experience. So we played a lot of young guys. You know, we had some very young, talented players last year play, and they're going to be a year older. Colorado's going to be a year older. You know, you look at Daryl Scott, you know, just the transition that he kind of went through and struggled through, and he had a great spring. So we're very excited about, you know, those guys, you know, kind of starting to understand and figure it out a little bit more and be a part of a contribution to our team.
Brian Cabral, linebackers coach for the University of Colorado, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. You bring up Daryl Scott. Is it unfair for Daryl Scott to try and live up to the hype of which he was brought in, the number one recruit in all of the land, and all the accolades that were maybe placed on him and hadn't taken a snap at Division I college football?
That's a hard deal. You know, that's a lot of pressure on a young man. How some kids handle that, I don't know, but it's not unfair, but it's just part of the game. It's part of the hype. It's part of recruiting. It was, you know, his disadvantage, you know, at least going into his first year, you know. So, you know, like I said, we fortunately or unfortunately, you know, from the defensive side, you know, he looked pretty good this spring doing some things.
Talk about that linebacker core. Many people think this could be one of the, if not the strength of the football team this year. You got some good kids back there.
Well, you know, we think that the second half, you know, the back half of our defense is going to be our strength. We've got every linebacker returning but one, and we've got every secondary returning but one. So we like to think that that's going to be our strength. You know, we're going to be young up front, but you know, more importantly, and not just our defense, and it's our whole team. You know, the attitude of our guys has been incredible, you know, since through winter training and through spring and through the summer. And they are genuinely excited about our team, but, you know, about, you know, who they are and what they think they're capable of doing. So, you know, that's okay. You know, we're going to sneak up on a lot of people. You know, they don't know who we are. But we got to prove that. You know, that's the biggest thing. But we think we are definitely ready to prove that. We think we are definitely going to turn the corner, you know, with Dan Hawkins this year.
I know Marcus told us the new line coach, Denver Johnson, really brings a passion to the game and some excitement to practices. Your overall thoughts on getting maybe a new energetic guy shoved into the system?
Well, you know, Denver Johnson brings a lot of experience to Colorado. Of course, you know, he was at Okie State for a number of years. He was at Oklahoma for a year. He had been a head coach and offense coordinator. He brings a lot of experience. But I think for a team, you know, just a year older, you know, offensive line-wise, you know, he came at a good time, you know, and he comes to us, you know, at a good time.
Brian, what do you use from your days with the Bears and your championship with the Bears as far as that still translates into what you can use as a coach with the athlete in this day and age?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I just like to think that when those players know that I've been where they want to go, they know I've been at the highest level. I think more, I guess it translates into them believing in me more than anything else. And then whatever it is that I'm trying to communicate or whatever it is I'm trying to teach them, I think that they are more than open and more than willing to be taught by me. So, you know, I take a lot of my experiences with me and try to incorporate in my coaching and, you know, from just the competitiveness of Mike Ditka, you know, to the work ethic of guys like Walter Payton and Mike Singletary, and then just to the, you know, almost mind games, you know, with Buddy Ryan. But he definitely was a player's coach, and every player would have died for him. So, you know, I hope that, you know, I have that kind of attention from my players.
obviously Buddy Ryan's sons now kind of taking over in the NFL. is that something you follow?
Well, yeah. It's funny. The Ryan boys, twins, were they were little guys running around camp up in Platteville, Wisconsin, when I was playing for in Chicago. And ironically, you look at the coaches. Mike Singletary is a coach, and Jeff Fisher and Leslie Frazier is a defense coordinator for the Vikings, and Ron Rivera is a defense coordinator for the Chargers. Those guys, and I'm in college, but we're all from the defense. What that means, I don't know, but we're all coaching from the defensive side.
Well, you're doing a heck of a job, I'll tell you that. We're looking forward to Colorado-Nebraska, the last day, the last game of the regular season. As we told the kids, let's make sure we don't have to worry about somebody has to win to go to a bowl game this year. Let's get that taken care of way ahead of time.
Well, we got to go through Stillwater first. So.
Well, there's a lot of places to go through.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it.
Exactly, but thank you.
Brian, thanks for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and best of luck to the Buffaloes this year.
Great. Thank you very much.
Brian Cabral from Colorado, associate head coach, linebacker coach, joining us here on ESPN Radio from Big 12 Media Days. We will take a break and be back with more right after this.
In today's job market, companies are cutting jobs. Is your job secure? Do you have the skills you need to keep your job? If you've lost your job, do you have the skills needed to get another?
Hi, I'm John Scherer, CEO and founder of Video Professor. Most jobs today require computer skills. I want to give you that edge so that you have the skills that you need to compete. Learn Vista, Excel, PowerPoint, even eBay. Over 60 lessons to choose from, and I'll send you any one of your choice absolutely free. It's a fact. Employees with the most computer skills have a better chance of keeping their jobs. And if you're looking for a job and you have the computer skills, you're more than likely to get hired. Don't take chances with your career. Let me help you take control. You have nothing to lose. Try my product.
Don't wait another second to get the computer skills you need. Call the Video Professor hotline right now and see how Video Professor can help you. We want you to succeed. Call 1-800-795-8130. 1-800-795-8130. That's 1-800-795-8130.
Double dip, double down, double the fun, all good doubles. But nothing beats double the savings at Kearney Yamaha. Right now, cash in on double savings at Kearney Yamaha when you buy a new Yamaha ATV or motorcycle. That's right, double savings. Now through the end of the month, Kearney Yamaha is having a double rebate sale. For example, buy a new Yamaha Grizzly and the guys at Kearney Yamaha will double the $700 rebate to $1,400. Buy a Yamaha Star motorcycle and the $1,000 rebate magically doubles to $2,000.
This is Terry Lobig from Kearney Yamaha, and it's our annual double rebate sale. The perfect time to save tons of money and get the Yamaha ATV or motorcycle of your dreams. There's never been a better time to get a new machine from Kearney Yamaha.
So whether you're looking for fun or a fuel-saving motorcycle, you can save up to $2,000. And farmers, if your ATV has seen better days, now is the time to upgrade and save big. Double savings now through August 30th at Kearney Yamaha, just south of I-80.
ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather. Brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on 25th Street in Kearney. For a square deal and a fair shake.
If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops across the area today with a chance of an isolated shower or storm developing with highs of 76, northwest winds stay gusty at 15 to 25. We'll then drop back to 51 for a low tonight. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 70.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Big 12 football preview brought to you in part by New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest dealer, the name you know you can trust. See Terry and Jason Stark of New Tech Seed tomorrow. We just talked to Brian Cabral, of course, of Colorado, associate head coach. Tomorrow, ESPN Television's Dave Brown
It's like Daddy's favorite dude down there. That you got a lot of favorite dude and dudettes, but
he's a hip dude.
You like Dave? Dave Brown will join us among our guests on the show tomorrow.
See, Aqib Talib was arrested in Tampa.
Yeah, what was that about?
Of course, a battery deal. Battery deal.
Also, a weird story that has taken light here the last 24 hours is that something that maybe happened back at Bertrand High School. I don't know, Daddy. This ever happened to you? You ever get tested to see if you're a man or a woman?
This has happened in Berlin, this out of Berlin, the AP.
And there it pops up on ESPN SportsCenter. Look how he or she has just smoked the field. And don't tell me that your first name is Caster. And you're wondering if it's a man or a woman winning the 800 World Championship in Berlin.
South Africa's Track and Field Federation has been asked to conduct a gender test on an 800-meter runner amid concerns. She does not meet the criteria.
Wow. I can't give you any studies, can I?
To compete as a woman.
This has happened. This has happened in the Olympics. They show instances. This has happened two or three times in the 30s, in the 60s. They enter somebody as a woman. It's really a guy. I'm just uncomfortable with the whole thing.
18-year-old Caster Semenya
just burst onto the scene here in the last few weeks, by the way. Just did. Just out of nowhere. And smoke in the field, really? I'm a little concerned. Well, it's Thursday, and more fantasy football drafts are coming up this weekend. And from FantasyPlayersEdge.com, where you should get all your information, and I'm crossing my fingers that I've picked up some tidbits as well from Joe DeMeo at FantasyPlayersEdge.com, joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing? How you doing, Daddy? How you doing, Doug?
We're doing okay. What's wrong with the water softener, buddy?
Oh man, it's just a nightmare. You know, it's tough living in paradise sometimes. And being that I'm here, I'm like my own universal plumber as well. So there's a real joy in having to do that type of work. And I can promise you, I'm the worst you've ever seen at it. Well, the woman asked me, you know, can you get the four screws off the? I said, I doubt it. I said, you're gonna have to send someone else with a smock.
What's a screw? Joe,
yeah, well, there you go. That's rhetorical.
Joe, I'm looking at a lot of folks getting ready for their fantasy draft this weekend. And we've seen the signing here of Brett Favre, which we threw out here a couple of weeks ago when it looked like it was all dead and in the water. Where do you have Brett on your quarterback board this morning?
Number 19. I don't feel he's even a second-tier possibility at the quarterback position. But with that said, gentlemen, he does elevate every skill player the Vikings have. Adrian Peterson's number one on my board anyway. He just becomes that much more devastating when defenses have to respect the pass. Bernard Berrien, I run in a straight line. I never go over the middle. Berrien will has a quarterback that can actually reach him 60 yards down the field. And he now becomes an acceptable wide receiver three if you can tolerate, you know, games that he disappears. Chestnut Taylor is going to be a decent option out of the backfield on long third down plays. And their rookie, Percy Harvin, looks like he has real merit. Normally, I don't like to grab rookies early on, but I may stretch for Harvin if he's available in the seventh or eighth round this year. No upgrades for Vicente Shayenko. Favre's not a real big tight end guy anyway. Ed Al, Bubba Franks, Donald Lee down in Green Bay, Chris Baker last year were not really, Dustin Cowell last year were not really, fantasy options at the position.
Okay, Joe, obviously that means Trent Edwards and David Garrard in your mind are ahead of Brett Favre.
Yeah.
You're nuts.
Yeah, I am. no, not Trent Edwards. No, excuse me, not Trent Edwards. Okay. Trent Edwards is 23rd on my list. He's right before Millie the Plumber. but I do think David Garrard has a chance to be a real big sleeper this year. Torrey Holt's in the fold. He's got a lot to prove to the Rams that he's still got plenty left in the tank. Maurice Jones-Drew provides a nice option. Don't be surprised if Garrard doesn't return to 07 form and become a kind of a valued guy on your roster, especially during bye weeks.
Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here. A question for Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com. This is from Chris in Kearney. He says, ask Joe about Ocho Cinco, please. Chad Ocho Cinco, a lot of people out there believe that Carson Palmer could come back to form. He's not going to come back to form if he doesn't have guys that can catch the ball. Your thoughts, Joe?
High ankle sprain right now is keeping Carson Palmer on the sideline. I would love to see him get more action with the first-team offense, including Ocho Cinco, Coles. You got to like this. Whoever the person is who sent it in, thank you so much for the question. Chris Henry on the inside is an interesting look as well in later rounds. They should be potent on offense. They have the magnificent Cedric Benson out of the backfield, which implies that Palmer will be dropping back in 3, 5, and 7 steps drops early and often. Ocho Cinco should be fine. I have him rated 21st right now on my board, behind Bo, Driver, and Holt, but ahead of Vincent Jackson, Lee Evans, and Antonio Bryant. So he's a nice middle of the road. I like him as a WR2. If you can get him in the late in the third or early in the fourth round, it represents decent value. Just try and get one of the top 12 guys before you look for Ocho Cinco, and that's Morris Fitzgerald, Andre, and Calvin Johnson, Wayne White, Steve Smith, Greg Jennings, Anquan Boldin, Terrell Owens, and TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Joe, I want to ask you about the running back position where you got the big bruisers like a Brandon Jacobs or an Adrian Peterson. Seems to be a lot of the smaller guys vault to the top of people's draft. Steve Slayton comes to mind. Maurice Jones-Drew's not an overly big guy. Those guys are very, very prone to injuries, though, are they not? Do you have to step a toe in lightly?
Well, when it comes to running backs, Doug Daddy, I have one basic premise, and that is I want a running back who gets is multifaceted. So that means I want a running back that gets between 18 and 25 touches a game guaranteed, and also gets the goal line work. And Jones-Drew, I'm not sure he's going to get the goal line work this year. He has a good chance to get it. I'm pretty sure Steve Slayton won't. They've got Chris Brown in there now. And so when you're drafting your backs, I mean, look, Slayton's a great back. He's going to get plenty of yards, but most formats, have a touchdown quotient in them. And you want to look for backs that are going to present themselves at the goal line. Peterson, Michael Turner, Steven Jackson, Tomlinson, Matt Forte. D'Angelo Williams is questionable in my mind, but only because, Stewart may vulture at the goal line, but Stewart right now is dealing with a lot of overhanging injuries, so Williams may move up on my board based on that. Frank Gore, excellent at the goal line. Chris Johnson, Tennessee, he's moving up wildly on draft boards. The goal line carries will probably go to Lendale White in those situations. Brian Westbrook, guys like that. Jacobs sometimes doesn't get the goal line work, even though he should. Clinton Portis, goal line guy. So that's the way I evaluate backs. If you need a sure thing in the first round, and a sure thing is a guy who's going to give you touchdowns and yardage. So keep that in mind in the first round. When you're moving up at the number 5th pick and Steve Slayton is sitting there, but so is, Tomlinson or Forte or even a Frank Gore, you better serve to grab one of those three guys because they will get you 4 to 6 more touchdowns.
Joe, way over time, but I have one more question. So real quick, Casilius on ESPN National is huge fantasy football guy. He threw out a name, and Tony and I are both in a touchdown-only league where Chester Taylor just killed me last year because I had Adrian Peterson, and Chester Taylor actually in this league scored as much, if not more, points. Who is the number one guy, if you're in a touchdown-only league, that sneaks in there and is going to just score touchdowns, 3, 4, 5, 6 carries a game, receptions, who would be the number one guy on that board?
Let me give you a couple of names. Lendale White is the one that jumps off the page always. He is definitely going to get the goal line touches. In Tampa Bay, Ernest Graham should get the goal line work. Up in Seattle, T.J. Duckett will probably get most of the short yardage stuff. LaRon McClain in Baltimore is another guy who will score a reasonable amount of touchdowns. And those four guys right there, most of those guys, with the exception of White, should be available in round 8 or 9.
All right, Joe, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
You're welcome, guys. Back to the water softener. I go. Take it easy.
FantasyPlayersEdge.com, working on his water softener and putting out the best info. Joe DeMeo. So, Daddy, already writing that down.
Got to write it down. Anytime Joe gives us something, obviously all this stuff you find on FantasyPlayersEdge.com. But Joe, very, very good fantasy knowledge base, which he presents. And you can hear him every week here on the Doug and Daddy Show on Thursdays.
Well, let's get out of here. We want to thank Joe DeMeo for joining us. Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald to talk Husker football and a little baseball. And Brian Cabral, associate head coach at the University of Colorado. Of course, remember the Super Bowl champion Bears joining us tomorrow. Dave Brown from ESPN among our guests, Daddy.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Dave Brown's the one that puts together the Roadshow College Game Day and does a lot of that work. So we're looking forward to having him. Obviously, next week, Monday, starts Daryl Morris and Paul Merkowitz. Morris and Merk, as always, on Monday. We'll get in. We look forward to seeing you 23 hours from now. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's football season. Football open tomorrow. If you haven't heard it yet, Doug's expanding it. Sounds great. Look forward to hearing that as well. 1460 in Kearney, 1550 on your AM dial in Hastings. We'll see you tomorrow.